Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into this world to seek and to save the lost, has come with kindness and mercy toward men. We thank Thee that He has come with wisdom and with understanding, and that He is gracious and merciful, so that we are encouraged to come and put our trust in Him. And so we come, praying that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. Our study in the book of Matthew will take us now to the 9th chapter. And in chapter 9, we will begin to read at verse 14. I have a few verses here that I want to bring to your attention. The passage is not long, so I will read it, and then we will comment on it. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to certain persons who were watching what He was doing and critically examining it. They came to the disciples of John, people who listened to John the Baptist preach and who had been impressed by him and had become followers of his, came to Jesus of Nazareth and asked Him a question. And they asked, why was it that they and the Pharisees often fasted, but the disciples of the Lord Jesus didn't fast? And the Lord gave them an answer that conveyed the idea in this way. As long as He was with them, there was no occasion for fasting. If the time would come, and the time would come, that He would be taken away, then would they fast. Now, you'll remember when we were talking about fasting, that fasting is an exercise of the individual in which, for religious reasons, you do without food and drink. You actually restrict yourself from the normal participation in normal natural procedures in order that you might have special attention that you would give to spiritual things. So that would be what you do when you fast. You would be trying to maneuver yourself and manipulate yourself in such a way that you would think more closely and more sensitively about spiritual things than you would otherwise do. Now, the disciples of John did this, and the Pharisees did it. They often did it, took time out to go without food in order that they might heighten their spiritual sensitivity to the truth that they were trying to grasp. It was noteworthy to them, noticeable to them, that the disciples of the Lord Jesus did not do that. So they came and asked Him. And we will judge from that, and I think properly so, that the experience of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way in which they looked to other people, was that they were buoyant and victorious. They didn't seem to be under any restriction. They didn't seem to be deprived of anything. They acted like people who were rich. They acted like people who were very fortunate. They seemed to be happy and rejoicing in the good blessing which they had. And these disciples of John couldn't understand it. They had this sort of feeling. When we are trying to draw nearer to God in our religious way of doing things, we restrict ourselves, and we're under considerable gloom and darkness about it. It's a rather repressive experience that we have. Religion to us is a matter, you don't do this and you don't do that, and you keep yourself from this and you keep yourself from that, and you folks just seem to be free and easy. You seem to be just hilarious about things. You are just in a happy frame of mind, in a buoyant frame of mind. The Lord Jesus answered them, saying to them, "Now, as long as the bridegroom is present, the people associated with him would feel good, and they'd feel happy. The day will come, he'll be taken away, then they can feel sorry, and they can fast. But what I note about that is this, that if you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, if you have the work of the Almighty God in you by his Holy Spirit, showing you the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be so conscious of being restricted. You will not be so conscious of being deprived of things. You will actually have a feeling that you have everything, and it's all been given to you. And there could very well be, on the part of other people when they see you, a rather a questioning frame of mind. Why does that person feel so good? Why are they looking so happy? They seem to act as if they had just won a great fortune. And, of course, all that is true. They are happy, and they have received a great fortune because they found out that God has received them and they belong to God. And then he follows on in the next two verses to give what in Matthew is the version of the same truth which in John is spoken of as being born again. He gives two illustrations to emphasize the fact that when God works in you by his grace through Jesus Christ, he does not work to improve your own human nature and make it fit for God. He comes to bring into you an entirely new thing. Now let's look at these two illustrations. One was that no man puts a piece of new cloth in a hole in an old garment. The other was that no one puts new wine into old bottles. Before we examine those more closely, let me give you an illustration such as would be current today, if you want to get this same idea across to you today. I remember some years ago, after we had had a refrigerator for some length of time, the freezing unit in our refrigerator was broke down. It just wouldn't refrigerate anymore. When we called the people from whom we bought it and asked them to do something about it, they sent a man out. And when this man came out, he did not come out to repair the unit. He came out to replace it. We thought he'd take it apart and see what was the matter and fix it. Instead of that, he just took the unit out. And when we spoke to him about it, he said, "That's the way we do. We don't repair this unit here. We send it back to the factory, and they'll rebuild it there. But what we do is give you a new unit." Now, I think he could have used that illustration. I am not coming to repair the units in your spiritual life, the power system that in you will make you do the right thing. I'm not coming to improve you. I'm coming to put in a new machine. I'll give you a new engine. I will not be repairing the old one and fixing it a little here and a little there and a little there. I'll give you a new engine. That's the idea. You must be born again. You'll get an entirely new character from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now take this other one about the new wine in old bottles. For there, one of the first things you need in understanding that is to remember that the bottles weren't made of glass. Those bottles could properly be called wine skins. Those bottles, as they still are made in the Orient, were made from leather. They were made of the skin of some animal, and made so that it was possible to use it for transporting liquids. Now, wine, when it would be put in one of those wine skins, it would ferment some after it was put in. After it had first been put in, it would ferment. When it fermented, as you know, it would give off gas, and that would mean those skins would stretch. Then in due time, of course, the gas would be gone, but the skins would be stretched. Now, if you then, having emptied that old wineskin, that stretched leather, and then you filled it up with new wine, and the new wine fermented, there wouldn't be any stretch left in that leather, and it would burst. That's the meaning of the word ruined, the meaning of the word break. It would burst, and the wine would be gone, would be lost. Now, what you do is you put new wine in new bottles, because when the new wine ferments as it does, The gas that it gives off will stretch the leather one time, which it can stand. Which is a way of saying, when the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, he is saying, I've not come to improve you. I've come to give you an entirely different life. I'm not coming to educate the old man. I'm coming to generate the new man. Because the old man, we're going to reckon him dead. We're going to take out the old man, put off the old man, and put on the new man. This is the illustration used in Matthew and in Mark and Luke. The illustration used in John is, you must be born again. It's the same idea. The big thing that's being brought across to us is that when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, something new starts in you. It's not an improvement of your old nature. It's not a changing of your old way of doing things. It's not learning better so that you can do more. It's not finding in yourself something good which can be developed to where it's good enough to take over and make you good altogether. It's not that way at all. It's a matter of saying that you must be born again. It's a matter of saying it will not be of the flesh, that you're going to have a new creature. Every man that's in Christ Jesus is a new creature. That does not mean he's the old creature redone over. He is new in the sense that he has something brand new in him. It's as different as spirit is from flesh. It's as different as God is from man. It's as different as heaven is from earth. And when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him, and God begins to work in you, something new starts in you. And this thing that comes from God is different in that it will never sin. The disposition that will be given to you will be one that will always want to do the will of God. And we can just hope and pray that every one of us will receive this from him. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the plan thou hast to give us new life in Christ Jesus. Help every one of us to receive it. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.